Good morning, Mennonite Christian Assembly. Today's scripture reading comes from Isaiah 43, 16 through 21. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Okay. If I'm at a grocery store and I see a product that's brand new, like new flavor, new whatever, it is so hard for me to resist. Anybody else in that same boat? You see something, it's like, oh, yeah, and I saw the ads on TV. Like, you're at the gas station, maybe. You want some M&Ms. You got the classics, right? You can go the peanut. You can go the milk chocolate. But then you go, toasted coconut? Like, it's just hard for me to resist for some reason. Ooh, crunchy espresso. That sounds good. Toffee apple, crispy mint, banana split, cold brew? Caramel cold brew? Have you guys tried those? I struggle to not go for the thing that's new, rather than I know what the tried and true tastes like. Did you guys see, there was a ton of advertising, I just saw it this week, for Coca-Cola and Oreos are doing this joint thing. So you got Coke-flavored Oreos, you got Oreo-flavored Coke. Did anybody try any of those? Okay, how was it? What's the review? It's bad. Okay, in a word... But did you guys do the cookies or the soda? The drink? Okay, gotcha. So the cookies are... We got one review in on those. I did not try those. I resisted the the Coke and Oreo combination. But here's the thing with that. And I recently had a moment with Rachel where it's like, I'm done trying the new stuff. Like, I've been burned too many times. Because here's the thing. They're not all winners, right? Sometimes the novelty is what lures you in, but then the actual flavor experience is like, yeah, no wonder this hasn't been done before because it's gross. Like, this doesn't work. So for some of you, that's why you always steer clear of the newfangled stuff, right? You go, I know what I like. I know what's good. That's where I'm at. It's safe. I know what I want. That's where I'm going to be. Remember, I was reminded of the Antonio Brown football helmet situation from a few years ago. Remember that? So NFL updates all their equipment and stuff, and this one player is like, no, I want this helmet. But it was no longer approved by the league. But he made a real big stink about that. And he's made a stink about other things too, of course. But it was like, I'm not playing unless I can wear this helmet. So he missed a bunch of practices, and he was going to face a bunch of fines. Why? Because he wanted the old helmet. None of this newfangled equipment for me. He wanted the old. And the reason I mention all of that is because I think sometimes this can become baggage in our lives that really weighs us down. Like clinging to the things of the past. I think that, well, just as we talked about last Sunday, there are times where the Lord calls us to let go. There are times where we, by faith, say, I'm releasing that and I'm going to step out in faith in the places where God wants me to. So, last week we talked about the importance of identifying that baggage and bringing it into the light and trusting the Lord by letting it go. Because here's the truth. Our God is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God does not change. And when your life is submitted to Him, He brings new things into it. And so it's sort of this interesting parallel where God doesn't change, but God leads you through change. God leads you through really an ever-changing life experience in a world that's constantly changing. And so He does this to grow us and to help us and to guide us and to teach us. And yes, ultimately, to accomplish His mission on earth. And so we follow. We walk where He leads. That's what we're going to talk about together this morning. Let me introduce myself. My name is John. I am just honored to serve as pastor here at MCA. Thrilled that you are with us this morning. And I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow stronger in the Lord. So we're in a sermon series this fall called Baggage. It's called Baggage. We are learning to let go, become unencumbered by the things that weigh us down, and live free. And so this morning we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 43. That's where Nate read for us a few moments ago. God is doing something new. And it is good. And yes, we all have a past and a history, and drawing from, learning from our past experiences actually can help us to look forward to the future with hope. But dwelling on the past, living in that place, well, that's where we're hindered from following God into the new things that he has in store. The problem when we do that, friends, is we then miss out on the good and beautiful things that God has planned for us. Why? Because of the baggage that keeps us in the past. So sometimes we wonder, what if? What if I had done this? What if he had done that? What if this had happened there? We wonder, if only I had done this. If only I hadn't done that. And what we do when we live in that place is rob ourselves of the present work of God. Like, right here, right now. Like, today is the day the Lord has made. So we will rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to press on today with the hope that God gives us. I think you see negative examples of this. I don't know, like, do you ever hang out with someone, or you spend time around someone who is, they're always talking about their glory days? Don't show of hands or point to the person next to you. And maybe if you're going, no, I don't really think so, it might be you. I don't know. But like, just the, you know, 25 years ago, you were the star athlete, and you kind of relive that each and every weekend. I think sometimes we recognize this in the people around us, like the ones who, they just always seem to be pining for the good old days. Back in my day. And everything is always better and more wonderful, like back then, you know, like, and you have these people who are like, why can't we just go back to the way things used to be? Like, it's this longing for, I really want to go back. I want to go back to the way things were. It's like, that's not how life works. And you're going to have a hard time seeing what lies ahead if your eyes are focused on what is behind. And I think the reason the past is so attractive, it can like lure us in, is because it's safe. The past is safe. And sometimes we do a little bit of revisionist history, don't we? We kind of rethink things, and they're a little better than they actually were. They're a little more wonderful. They're a little easier than they actually were. But even if your history is troubled, at least there aren't any surprises. Like, you know what happened. Not that it was all perfect and lovely, but I think part of the reason that the past is so attractive is that it's safe. And again, the problem with that mindset is you cannot move forward when you're looking backward. When your eyes are fixed on and your mind is dwelling on the past, it's hard to step into, it's hard to live in the reality of the present and move forward into the days that lie ahead. And honestly, this is what our spiritual enemy does. He focuses on the past. He reminds you of the past. He wants you to dwell in the past. It's one of his tactics. He brings up what you've done. He reminds you of who you've been. But I believe that the Lord wants us to fix our eyes on Jesus, not on who we were, what we've done, where we've been. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we begin to learn to wait with eager expectation the good things that he has in store for us. We begin to delight in and enjoy the things he's blessing us with right here and right now. And we trust him. And we have courage, and we have joy, and we have strength to face whatever lies ahead, whatever is to happen in the days to come. And so today, very simply, we're going to talk about leaving behind us the baggage that is in our past. Leave it behind, for better or for worse. And be encouraged this morning to move confidently into the present reality of God's provision for us. So we're in Isaiah chapter 43. I hope you brought a Bible with you this morning. Please open it up. We have a model here from the Lord through the words of the prophet Isaiah that teaches us how do we embrace the new things that the Lord is doing for us. And so what I want to share with the rest of the time we have together is three ways or three steps to take in order to do that. How do we leave behind the baggage of our past and embrace the new thing that God has for us? So the first step is to leave the past in the past. Like, so Jesus himself says, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is unfit for service in the kingdom of heaven. Unfit. If you put your hand to the plow, you got to have eyes forward. Think about the ministry of Jesus and in the Gospels as he called people to him, to follow him, to serve him. I mean, they left everything behind. Now, for some of them, that was a life of sin. He called prostitutes. He called tax collectors and sinners. For others that he called, it was simply their work, their business, their affairs. They left it and they followed Jesus. So let's get into our text for this morning in Isaiah chapter 43. We're looking at specifically verses 16 through 21. And the first few verses there, if you look, verses 16 and 17, the Lord is reminding them that he is the same God who delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. He's talking to his people, the people of Israel, and he reminds them who he is. The one who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together. Like, I'm the one who did that for my people. I'm the same God. Now, you might think this is odd, because God is telling them, I'm doing a new thing, it's time to look forward. We've just talked about that for a few minutes. And now, is God dwelling in the past? Are his eyes fixed on the past? No. Because our God is unchanging. He's reminding them of who he is. And when we reflect on who God is, it helps us to move forward into what he is doing. So we're then at verse 18. The Lord says it really clearly here through the prophet, forget the former things. And he says, do not dwell on the past. So again, God is not nullifying the commandment to tell younger generations what the Lord has done. He's not saying, forget about the escape from Egypt, forget about the mighty works of the Lord. No, he has informed them and encouraged them. They were to recount God's mighty hand in Egypt, how he brought them out of slavery after 400 years of bondage. It's that they were not to dwell on the past. If you remember the story, by the way, of God rescuing and delivering his people from Egypt, you know they didn't make it very far. Before they started longing to go back to Egypt. They're released from the mighty hand of Pharaoh, the 10 plagues. Pharaoh comes after them. The Lord opens a way through the Red Sea, and they're then wandering in the wilderness, right? They're en route to the promised land, and they're hungry, and so God provides manna. You guys remember this? And they go, we're sick of this manna. Oh, remember the food we ate back in Egypt? Oh, boy, that was good. Hey, we should go back to Egypt. So we read about this in Numbers chapter 11. Let's look there, verses 4 and 5. It says, the rabble with them began to crave other food, meaning not manna. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt and at no cost. Also, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks. I can't even read this without laughing. The leeks. Where are we at here? The onions, the garlic. Like, God has delivered them. They were slaves. He is providing for them in the wilderness. And they say, we're really sick of this bread from heaven. Let's go back and get some Egyptian garlic. Man. Now, we're poking fun here and we're laughing. Wandering in the wilderness was hard. Right? They were fickle, and yet they were walking through challenging times. Oh, it was something new. See, this wasn't what they were accustomed to. And so, what did they long for? What did they want? They wanted to go back. They wanted it to be the way it had always been, right? I mean, they'd been in slavery for hundreds of years, so it was all they knew. They wanted to return to the way things used to be. Does that sound familiar? Any of you guilty of saying that? We do the exact same thing. How I long for the way things used to be. How I long for going back in time and reliving that event or that season or that thing. And that's baggage. We allow that baggage to keep us from the new thing that the Lord has in store. Think about the people of Israel. The promised land lay ahead of them. Like this beautiful land of blessing and promise and hope flowing with milk and honey. That's where they were headed. And they want to go back to get some Egyptian garlic, leeks and onions. Here's the encouragement from Paul to the Galatian church. This is Galatians 5 and verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Kind of reminds me of the proverb about a dog who returns to its vomit. Why do we go back to those same things? Why do we go back to those places when God has something new in store for us? Leave the past in the past. That's the first step for us. If we truly want to get rid of the baggage, live free, step into the new things that God has for us, we've got to leave the past in the past. You can't go back to the way things used to be. God has something new for you. God wants to move you going forward. What if a new thing would spring up right in front of you, but you don't even see it because you're pining for and longing for the days of old? Leave the past in the past. The next step is to realize that the best is yet to come. Boy, we get excited when we've got that birthday coming up, don't we? Or that anniversary getaway, or that vacation, or homecoming. We get excited about that. It's on the calendar. It's coming up. We're going to have this great event, have this great thing happen. We think about it. We prepare for it. We talk about it. That's good. I'm for that. But I think we have to recognize and realize that in just the same way, you and I live with this eager expectation and longing for the return of our Lord Jesus. We are living in light of his sure return. He's coming back. He has gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. Wow. And the Bible describes it as this great wedding feast. And each person at the end of the age is going to stand before God. We're going to be judged. Those who have confessed Jesus as Lord, those who have trusted in him for the forgiveness of sins, will be welcomed into paradise. By the way, in Revelation chapter 21, do you know what the scriptures call paradise, heaven? The New Jerusalem. It describes this city, this new city that's holy, that's made with pure gold, right? I mean, we think about that often. The streets paved with gold, the pearly gates, these precious jewels, diamonds, pearls, and in that place is never-ending sunlight. But that struck me this week as I realized, even in eternity, it's something new. Even now, Christ has gone ahead to prepare a place for us, the new Jerusalem. So Revelation is what the Apostle John sort of saw. He saw this revelation unfolding, and in it he saw the Lord creating a new place. It says a new heaven and a new earth. By heaven, really, that just means the skies in that context. Why? Because the planet we are on one day will stop spinning on its axis. The galaxy in which we reside will one day be destroyed. It will cease to exist. But God has a way of making new things. That's what he is up to right now. That's what's going to happen in all of eternity. And listen, guys, the new is better than the old. What God creates and renews, and that word takes on sort of special meaning in this context, doesn't it? Renew. What God renews is better. The new is better than the old. And so, we're in Isaiah chapter 43 this morning. The Lord says, we're at verse 19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Even when we feel like we're in that dry and weary desert, the Lord can bring forth hope and life. I mean, if we think about the story of God working on planet Earth, among humanity, like to a people steeped in darkness, he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, fully God, fully man. And he willingly then went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but receive God's free gift of salvation. What good news. This is what God is about, bringing restoration and hope, bringing light into darkness, making a way through the wilderness, making streams in the desert places. So, my friends, the encouragement this morning is very simple. Don't hold on to the things of the past. Instead, lean into what lies ahead. Believe what God says, that the best is yet to come, because God is doing a new thing. You know he's doing it. Trivia level easy. Anyone know what band that is? Just shout it out. Yeah, okay. Trivia level expert. Anyone remember what year that was from? Or just take a guess based on the musical style and... Okay, I heard 92, that's the closest, but that's not right. 91 is also closer, 1990. And let me tell you, that was cool. Like, that was really cool back in 1990, right? I was a huge DC Talk fan. I saw them in concert probably around that time, 90, 91. Oh my goodness. And honestly, in some ways, this perfectly illustrates the point, because now it is just super cheesy. Like, what was cool years and years ago is now really cheesy. Can you imagine? So Toby Mac still makes music. He still performs. Can you imagine that you go to a Toby Mac concert in 2024 and he says, "We're doing New Thang," which is the name of that song, and that it was the name of the CD. That was the album, New Thang, N-U, right, Jordan, you're... Jordan was saying the sermon for this morning, which is titled A New Thing, should have been New Thang, N-U, and then Thang. he would never dream of doing that song today. Why? Because he has continued to grow and make music that's better, like doing things that are new. In the same way, we live in this way where we know that the best is yet to come. I came across a great quote I want to share with you this morning from theologian Warren Wiersbe. Check this out. He says, "When God forgives and restores his people, he wants them to forget the failures of the past, witness for him in the present, and claim his promises for the future." So life is then this adventure. When you live with this mentality, it's this adventure. And yes, there are going to be plot twists and surprises. But remember, God is faithful. God is present today. He is actively at work today. His mercy's new each day. And so we eagerly await eternity in his presence. Yeah, the best is yet to come. Okay, one final step if we want to embrace this idea of God doing a new thing and we don't want to be encumbered by the baggage of our past is to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, because ours is an invisible kingdom. It's not one that's made of stone. We have a king, we have a ruler, a leader that you cannot see. It's King Jesus. And he indwells the believer through his Holy Spirit. So I want to be really clear on this morning. As we study God's word and as we talk about this spiritual reality of God doing something new and fresh and opening ourselves to that and leaning into that and humbly saying yes to that, like, this is not self-help. This is not me saying, you've got to get better, you've got to do something new in order to change yourself and be a better, like, that's not it. This is not hypnotherapy. This is not a 12-step program to a better you. This is an encouragement to offload the baggage and walk in freedom by an unwavering faith in an all-powerful God. Are you following me this morning? This isn't self-help. It's unwavering faith in an all-powerful God. Walking in His ways, as revealed to us in His Word, lovingly guided by His hand. You start to get the sense here that it's all about Him. We know that our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's not about you. It's about Him. So I want to keep going in our study here in Isaiah 43. Let's look at these next few verses, starting in verse 20. The wild animals honor me. It's about Him. It's about His glory, His honor. The jackals and the owls. Because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. We trust the Lord. We walk by faith. The scriptures say in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. If the Lord told us everything that was about to happen, like He explained everything to us, why it was happening, what was going to happen next. Brandon, remember we talked about this recently. Like, if God just sat you down and said, here's what's going on, I'll explain to you all the behind the scenes, I'll explain to you why I'm doing this, I'll explain what's going to happen here. Like, first of all, you would say, you would thank Him profusely. Thank you, oh good, loving, kind, benevolent God. Because you are working all things together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. But secondly, you wouldn't really need faith now, would you? If God just explained it all to you, here's why this is happening, here's what is happening, here's what's about to happen, well, then you wouldn't really need to trust Him, would you? You would see it, you would get it, and you would say, okay, awesome, yeah. God is so good. He's so loving. He's so kind. He's working for His glory and for our good. Ours is an invisible kingdom. We walk by faith, not by sight. We trust Him. He's a God that we can't see. And to the unbelieving world, that's evidence to say He doesn't exist. He's not involved. He doesn't care. He is God, and we are not. And so, from the dawn of humanity, it's been a power struggle. Will I be in charge? Will I be in control? Or will I walk by faith, trusting, choosing submission to God? Trust Him. Walk by faith. This is the encouragement, of course, from 2 Corinthians 5. If we see verse 1, Paul says, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands, for we live by faith, not by sight. Again, ours is an unchanging God. He is always faithful. He is always holy. He is always good. Like, God will never cease to be all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, eternal, sovereign, wise, merciful, just, gracious, loving, glorious, compassionate. He'll never change. He'll never cease to be who He is. And so we trust Him. Even as the world around us changes, even everything else seems to change, and it can be terrifying. But God is doing a new thing. So friends, listen, today my encouragement is, let's not get trapped, let's not get bogged down by the past, the things that are behind, the former things. My encouragement is that we would trust the Lord, trust Him with our past, Trust him today in the present. And oh yes, trust him with that glorious future that awaits. And for some of us, that baggage truly is our sins, our mistakes, our failures, our shortcomings. We need to hear again this morning that our God stands ready to forgive, to restore, to renew, to heal. In fact, our prayer team is going to be available right here in the front after the service. We would love to pray with you this morning. If there's baggage you're ready to offload, if there's a hurt that you're ready to give before the Lord, if you need someone to come alongside you, we'd be honored to do that this morning. Just come to the front when we dismiss. We'll pray with you this morning. Trust in the Lord with your past, your present, and your future, because if the Lord has forgiven it, you are forgiven. It is gone. He wants you to be free from it. In fact, our study in Isaiah 43 was verses 16 through 21, but go ahead, if you've got your Bible open still, jump ahead and look at verse 25. Because there the Lord says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. When we leave our baggage in the past, it brings God glory. When we say yes to the Lord without holding anything back, his rule and his reign expand, pushes back the darkness, ushers in the kingdom of God. He is doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Leave the past in the past. Look forward to the best that is yet to come. Walk each day by faith. For no eye has seen, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you. And what a great opportunity for us to say, you are God. We are not. Lord, we thank you that in your great mercy, you choose to forgive. You heal our brokenness. You sent your one and only Son, the perfect, spotless, blameless sacrifice. Lord, we confess in this place freely today that there are times we long for, we dwell on the past. There are times where we are weighed down by the baggage of guilt and shame. And Lord, we are longing for freedom. And how thankful we are that there is freedom in Christ. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So Lord, we receive the things that you have in store for us today as we eagerly anticipate the things that are yet to come. Lord, we trust you, and we choose to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us, Lord. Help us to do that for your glory, for the furtherance of your kingdom. And Lord, you know, we long to see even more come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So, Lord, we submit that to you in your time, in your way. We avail ourselves to you, O God, to be used by you, and how you have blessed us, O Lord. And so today we choose to bless you. Thank you, great and mighty God. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.